Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Parisa Neruzzi, and this is Taking Action on WPFW 89.3 FM. We come to you every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and we bring you information and inspiration so that you can take action. We are fighting displacement in our city. We're saving schools and communities, standing up for justice, building our power, and holding government officials accountable. Taking Action is produced by the grassroots organization Empower DC. We welcome your feedback and your show ideas, and you can reach out to Empower DC at 202-234-9119 or go to empowerdc.org. And before I introduce my guest today, I do want to invite the listeners who are concerned about air pollution, lead exposure, and clean water, or who want to know about local policy initiatives and campaigns that are addressing environmental justice issues here in DC to join us on Thursday, January 30th at 6 p.m. via Zoom for an information session. And you'll hear from organizers from groups including the Campaign to Reduce Lead and Asthma, Young Gifted and Green, Nature Forward, Green New Deal for DC, and Empower DC to share brief overviews of our 2025 priorities for environmental justice work here locally. Learn more and plug into that work. You can join us again this Thursday, January 30th at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Go to empowerdc.org/events to register for that, and we look forward to seeing you. So I'm sure our listeners are experiencing a lot of the same emotions and feelings that I've been experiencing. A little bit of sorrow, a little bit of anger, a little bit of overwhelm, but definitely a lot of clarity that we have a lot of work to do and we're not going to stop doing it. We're in a difficult moment for sure in this country. But we've been in difficult moments before. In fact, we've always been in difficult moments. And so the work continues. It's important as ever to be very clear about what we stand for and keep building the organizing models and systems and organizations and connections that help us create the society that we want to live in. So I am really happy to be joined by three guests who exemplify that work, people who have dedicated themselves to this type of work to foster democracy and freedom and equality for all through their current work as well as over many years in other roles that they've played. Akine Freechild is the co-director of the Democracy Campaign at Public Citizen. She's joining us along with Kaden Wime, who is an organizer with the Democracy Campaign as well and a student at American University. And Kaya Chatterjee is with a new organization called Free DC, which is building on DC's longstanding fight for statehood and equal representation. All three of them were part of an important event that took place this past Saturday, Rise for Democracy, a teach-in that was held at All Souls Church here in DC. And brought together hundreds of community residents, students, and advocates to learn about strategies that help us prepare for and continue the work of building democracy and building the society that we want to be part of. Thank you guys so much for joining today on Taking Action.
Thanks for having us.
I'd love to just hear a little bit more about each of you and your organizations as a start. If you wouldn't mind, Akine's getting us going and share a little bit more about yourself.
You bet. Thanks so much, Parisa. It's a pleasure to be with you. We love Empower DC and your work. Public Citizen is a nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. We're 50 years old. We champion the public interest in the halls of power and really focus on corporate power, but also defending democracy and fighting to ensure that our government works for everyday people, not big corporations. We have about 500,000 members and supporters throughout the country. We're here in DC, in addition to being in Texas and New York. But this is our home, and we try to be good nonprofit supporters of local organizing and be part of local organizing as well as national.
It looks like you've been at Public Citizen for quite some time too. I was looking at your bio. Is it more than a decade
now? Yeah, it is. We started working on corruption and money in politics after the Citizens United ruling and the Democracy Campaign. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court overturned part of the Voting Rights Act, and we needed to lean in harder with our allies on voting rights. And then Trump was elected, and we needed to fight fascism. And then we needed to protect elections and do election cybersecurity and protecting election workers. So our work has really expanded, unfortunately. I'd rather have just won on the corruption work, but it just, you know, goes to show we need to join together in larger numbers to get us to a place where we can make our democracy more inclusive instead of fighting these attacks.
Thanks for that important work. And Kaden, I'm excited to meet you and hear a little bit more about your work.
Great to meet you. So I began getting involved in democracy organizing first on the community level a few months after January 6th, and that was really the inciting moment for me. Got involved with Public Citizen in 2022, and we began organizing around some bad ballot initiatives that would remove the people's control over our state ballot and referendum process in Arizona. And one particular bad ballot initiative was Prop 128 that would allow the state legislature to disregard citizen-led ballot measures. And we defeated it, organizing a lot of students around college campuses with about 63% of the vote. And that really taught me about the intersectionality of the democracy movement, because 2 years later, Arizona citizens were able to codify reproductive rights into our state's constitution using that ballot measure process. And so that really goes to show how we have to defend democracy as an intersectional issue, because it ties into reproductive rights, it ties into climate justice, it ties into corporate money and politics. And so that really spurred my involvement with Public Citizen. And, you know, 2 years later, now we're here organizing the Rise for Democracy teach-in, working to support our friends at Free DC on DC autonomy work. Outside of that, I'm the president of the Task Force for Democracy. So we're a student group that started shortly after January 6th, organizing first around student rights and now around voting rights and student involvement in the democracy movement. So thanks so much for having me on.
Very exciting. Thank you. And Kaya, an old friend I haven't seen in a minute, so I'm excited to hear what you're up to, but give the listeners a little background as well.
Yeah. So hi, so nice to see you. My background, actually, I started my career as a federal worker, which feels important just to say out loud in solidarity today, that I started as a scientist at NASA, early in my career. And I've done a lot of work on climate justice, decades of work, you know, getting federal legislation done, international stuff done, but always have kept, you know, a foot in organizing here at home, in DC, and also, you know, doing a lot of research about movements abroad. And so this is a moment that just feels like it's bringing together so much of my background in odd ways, like studying movements all over the world, understanding how they succeeded when the odds were really, really long, and having that kind of anchoring in the rest of the world, but then also having this constant passion for protecting my home. So we just launched, as you mentioned, Free DC on Friday, but really it's not like a new thing. It's standing on the shoulders of many, many giants, and just really excited to be here today and be in community, which is the most important thing in times like this.
Again, great to have you all on today. And I'm excited to, allow you to just share all of your thoughts on this moment and the things that you're working on and the things that you think listeners should be aware of and how listeners can get involved, and follow your work. But let's start with learning a little bit more about the teach-in that you just completed this past Saturday. What gave rise to this particular event? What was sort of the inspiration for it, and how did it go?
Thank you so much. Yeah. There seemed to be a hunger for this and a need for deep training that draws from what people have learned in democracy struggles against fascism all over the world. Many people have been doing this struggle for a long time on and off throughout their country's history. And we've been lucky to not have quite this level of attack in so recently. And we were part of a huge coalition of groups with Move On, Working Families Party, and Indivisible, and many others to hold community calls immediately after the election. So the Thursday after the election, Working Families Party convened this call with these other groups. And I think there were 140,000 people ready to be together on the call virtually. And people organized hundreds of community gatherings to be together, to grieve together, to think about what was going on together after that. In December and January, and some of those are still going on, and folks can find those on mobilize.us if you look up We Are Worth Fighting For. But people really wanted to do something next. And also there's this incredible set of trainings at whatiftrumpwins.org, whatiftrumpwins.org. One more time, whatiftrumpwins.org, where a group called Choose Democracy really thought about this in advance. Like, what do we need to know that's just not in the DNA of movements in the US who haven't had a global perspective as much? And what can we learn? And how do we prepare to help each other through mutual aid to be ready to make use of moments of attack and political violence that are not as familiar to potentially current generations of organizers, even though we've seen violence used in politics in the past in the US, to say the least. It's not in everybody's recent memory. So all of this, and folks should check that out and see if it's useful for them, was available. And we wanted to create a space for those trainings to come to folks in DC, at least, and perhaps beyond. And it's an open source set of trainings. So that's how we came to wanting to do this in DC. We had also done this twice before at the All Souls Church Unitarian on 16th and Harvard, which is an incredible organizing space that many of your listeners know. Well, I'm also a member of that faith community, and the music of that community and the joy of the space is just such an incredible space to be in, and make people feel held, to create that space where they can feel their feelings and get ready to act together and connect. So we called it Rise for Democracy, and I'd love for Kaden to tell you a little bit more about the event itself.
Yeah, I'd love to specifically touch upon the student community element. Thanks, Akine. So Rise for Democracy, really the way I see it, and I'm sure the way so many see it, it was the moment we needed for our movement. It was a moment to heal after Election Day, to express solidarity with vulnerable communities and with each other. And it really was a cross-generational event where students and community members united to learn how we organize under a creeping autocracy, how we defend DC's autonomy and resist Project 2025. And some of the feedback we got is that a lot of youth and students felt that the older generation had abandoned them in this last election, that they were abandoning our futures. And some of the feedback we got was that students were so happy to see the presence of older members in the community there, to know that they felt supported. And that's really what we were trying to aim for, is that students in movements past have always been the vanguard. They've always had the passion, the energy to lead democracy movements around the globe. But in order to successfully do that, they have to have a community network that supports them. And so building off of that mutual aid, as Akine mentioned, is what was really important here. It's that, how can students contribute back to the community and fight for democracy, fight for justice in the sense, but also know that they have that support network in DC and wider, you know, nationally. So that was really the aim for the student community element. And I'd say it went fantastic. And it was so great to see folks from all age groups present at the teach-in. So.
And we'll get in a little bit, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the content that you presented to students and in ways, you know, and I will admit, I have not been a student for a while. And also, even when I was at a very, very small institution. So I don't actually know what it's like in the larger university setting to be a student that is trying to mobilize and organize against the type of repression that people are feeling. So I'm interested to hear more from you and, you know, some of the realities that people are experiencing and the tools and resources available. Kaya, if you could also just share a little bit more about some of the organizing network that that FreeDC grew out of and I think was also part of this event, because there's a lot that is very local and it's exciting. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. You can, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sorry about that. So as everyone here knows, we have a really rich organizing space here in DC. We also are the capital, obviously, and we know from anti-authoritarian and authoritarian movements all over the world that the way we organize in the capital has enormous consequences for whether we succeed nationally in countering the backside of democracy. So we have coalition spaces that, of course, with Empower DC and many others, like Defend DC, that were launched right after the election, that are really, really important spaces for all these organizations to come together. Free DC actually comes from a group that was called Hands Off DC that folks might be familiar with. So we come from this, in the very near term, we came from this effort to stop the repeal of the criminal justice reform bill, which was the first time DC had a bill repealed in 30 years. Of course, even just since Trump has been in office, we saw him pardoning the MPD officers who killed Kerron Hilton Brown. We've seen these like immediate attacks on DC. We know that there are these attacks on federal workers, many of whom are residents of DC, and we know that they've said they want to quote unquote take over DC. So Free DC really comes from the lineage of the incredible organizing of Julius Hobson. My son went to Stuart Hobson Middle School, and that lineage of Marion Barry, of so many amazing leaders that we stand on the shoulders of, and we know that they struggled so long and so hard to get home rule. And what we want to bring right now is the energy of like everything we know about the culture, the joy of DC, and also everything we know about movements all over the world to make sure that we, the people of DC, are like demand our equal representation under the law, and also that we expose what's happening to people here in DC. We understand that what is happening to people is intentional fear, right? And that fear is this tactic, and that all authoritarians use that fear to keep us distracted and off balance. But here in DC, we have enough community, enough coalition spaces, enough organizational homes, enough faith communities that we can regulate that emotional response of fear. We can build communities of trusted allies wherever we are, and we can move. And our core thing at Free DC is that we have to move into non-cooperation. We cannot obey in advance, and we have to build our muscle to not cooperate with things that are designed to harm us and our communities.
That is a word. I like so many things that you said that I'm like resonating with. All right, well, let's listen to a song that I think I understand that music played a role in the teach-in this past Saturday as well. And we all, especially here in WPFW, appreciate the importance of movement music. So we're gonna listen to a song and then get back to talking about the content, some of the content of your event. And my guests here, please let me know if there's any problems hearing this. Here we go.
Woke up this morning with my
mind. Knew it was
dead of freedom. Woke up this morning with my mind.
Woke up this morning.
All right. I'm glad we did that. That felt good. Of course, that was Sweet Honey in the Rock. And woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. And yeah, we got to wake up with that mindset every day. I liked what you said, Kaya, about the building the muscle or exercising the muscle of resistance. And, you know, and you also spoke a bit about culture, you know, and I think that's where the music comes in as well, to have this culture and community of resistance, that we're supporting each other and helping each other, you know, not become consumed by fear and inaction. So love to hear a little bit more about how you incorporated some of that song and culture and joy. I know is featured prominently on the Free DC website, that DC is a place of people who are joyful in their fight for freedom and equality. Do you want to speak a little bit more to that, Kaya?
Sure. Yeah. We were very, very excited to, at the very end of the day, you know, we were in this teach-in for 11 hours. Wow. And at the very end of this very long day, we had this incredible sing-in. And as the leaders were talking about, they were talking about Free DC's kind of tagline, if you will, that we need to prioritize joy. And that's hugely important to us, because we know that anti-authoritarian activists have been successful in doing that. And that's true here in the US too, of course. You know, like that's how we, you know, in the US civil rights movement, obviously singing and prayer were so important. In South Africa, dancing played such an important role in collective power. We know that humor, prayer, and dancing are really, really key tools so that we can show up powerfully. So it was really beautiful at the end of the day to you know, raise our voices together in song and feel that feeling, and just kind of also be reminded of the content that all of us had gone through in the day, whether that was like Free DC and or lots of other things. And the website that you saw the joy in, I'm just going to say, is freedcproject.org.
Yeah, and Kat. Okay, Nang, please go ahead and add to that.
Sure. Yeah. I just want to add that there are a lot of great spaces to learn these songs if you don't feel like you have a tap into them. One of them is the Justice Choir songbook. If you look that up on YouTube, you can hear some of the other songs we sang on Saturday, and you can find your favorites and learn them and sing them at your next gathering. I took the liberty of ending lunch and dinner by singing and creating rhythm, because that's what I love. But I think everybody kind of needs to find their own song that moves them and keeps them nourished and brings people together. So the Justice Choir songbook is there. There's lots of great groups that do singing, and All Souls Unitarian is just one of them. Welcome folks to look there, check it out, find the community where you can learn these songs, and I hope dances too, because nothing brings me more joy. Thanks
for that. And yeah, Kaya, I wondered if you could dig in a little bit more to some of the threats that have been posed against DC specifically in this moment. Some of the content that you presented on Saturday in terms of authoritarianism and how it's threatening DC right now, and what we can do or are doing to overcome that.
Thanks, Fraser. Yeah, so when you look at the list of bills that Congress put forward just in the last Congress, just about DC, you're starting to see all that stuff being echoed by this, you know, by this authoritarian administration, wannabe authoritarian administration right now. So they have put forward bills that would close DC Council's Office of Racial Equity, close the Office of LGBTQ Affairs, prohibit us from using local funds to house undocumented immigrants, restricted voting rights, disapproving of the Ranked Choice Voting Initiative 83, repealing climate legislation all over the place, including clean cars, requiring DC to recognize concealed carry permits from other countries, permanently banning funds for abortion. Basically, they have a Project 2025 red state agenda that they want to pass in DC. In short, I'm not going to keep going because honestly, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. They want to repeal our no right on red to protect pedestrians. I mean, it's just absurd the level of detail, the intervention. And of course, there were two bills that were put forward to repeal DC's home rule. And so they really are coming after DC. They want to implement this red state agenda in a very not red place where we don't support these things. And so there's two like core pieces that we have been training people on, that we train people on Saturday. One is that like, they don't get to do whatever they want. We have power, first of all. And so I use the, you know, I use a triangle, like a very simple triangle people can picture, where like these leaders, they think that they think they're like on top of a pyramid, and people, they're at the top of the triangle and people at the base will just listen to them. And most recently, internationally, this happened in South Korea, where they tried to institute martial law and they just thought people would listen. Of course, that did not happen. Instead, that person, the prime minister, is now in jail. And it's because people rose up. And that's because power is not really like a triangle sitting on its base. It's actually like an upside down triangle that's very, very unstable and is like teetering around on its tip. And the only reason it doesn't fall is because there are these pillars of support that keep it up. And those pillars are us, the people. They're the people who pick up garbage. They're the people who teach our kids. They're the media. They're federal workers, they're yes, police, military, they're all these things that hold up power. And you don't have to remove all those pillars for power to fall down. You just have to remove a few. And we make up some of those pillars. And we know from movements around the world that, you know, there's this number where if you can organize 3.5% of the population against an authoritarian, in most cases, they fall down. Now, you also have to be strategic. You have to use non-cooperation. You can't just have those people like sign a petition. That's not it. But if you actually withdraw your consent with 3.5% of the population, that really makes a huge impact. Now, DC is 700,000 people. 3.5% is not that big of a number. It's 24,500. And when you break it down by eight wards and the eight wards we have, that's 3,000 people in every ward. And then you break it down to the ANC, the neighborhood commission level, and that's 500 people. You break it down to the single member district that, like, as a former ANC, I represented 2,000 people. That's 70 people, 70 of the 2,000 I represented. That's who we need to get information. The reality is when we normally do stuff for to protect DC, we maybe get 300 people out on a good day. If we get everybody out on hands all deck, we're talking about 1,000 people. That's not going to cut it. We need to get to 24,000 people, but also that's not that many. And if we all start talking to our neighbors, we can do it. And if people are listening and they want to be counted in that 24,000 that we know are ready for non-cooperation, again, it's FreeDCProject.org, let us count you. Put your hand up and let us count you.
Yeah, I noticed on your website that you're holding organizing meetings at the ward level, making sure that there's multiple, you know, channels for people to be able to plug in. You want to speak a little bit more to that organizing model that you're unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, we really, really believe that people need to be not only joyful and in community, but also in like safe pods in their community, right? So that we know people who live near us. Some of these most recent attacks, they're, all this stuff is illegal, by the way. I want to be clear. Like, I don't want to assume it's all going to happen because it's not legal. But I think it's important to understand the depth of what they're trying to do. They're trying to take away SNAP funding. They're trying to take away all government support from people. They want people to be hungry and starve and lose their housing, and then they want to arrest them for not having a house. And the way we're going to protect each other, well, hopefully that will get stopped before it gets that far. I want to be clear. It's not legal. But if things get bad, we want people to be in community with each other. So every single ward has meetings. Has Free DC meetings that we're organizing. Every single ward is going to be organizing in ways that make sense culturally for that location. And that also, you know, that also allows people to think creatively about like, okay, well, in our ward, if we are going to get to 3,000 people, what does that look like for us here? And go ward by ward and get really, really specific, as well as form communities. And I will say that like a lot of what we're doing in every ward is having launch parties. We had our Adams Morgan launch party last Friday. And again, there was music, there was dancing, there was art, because this, like for this to be sustainable, it can't just be that we're focused on their cruelty and their chaos. We also have to be focused on our, sorry for all the C's, but like we are like creative and compassionate. I'll go away from the C's and like loving and joyful. And so that's what the word-based organizing is about too, is tapping into that culture in every word.
Sounds beautiful. I love it. So yeah, Kaya, I really appreciate you calling attention to the attacks, but also the importance of, you know, the way that we respond. And again, this is not just about responding to the Trump administration and the current efforts. It's about building the world that we've always been trying to build, right? So
yes.
I think, I mean, to your point, there's a reason why they're coming after DC in particular. And it's not just because we happen to be near the White House. It's because it's a majority Black and brown place that has played a role in every important social movement throughout history, you know, throughout U.S. history, and in some cases, you know, with anti-apartheid and other movements, even abroad. And yes, the effect of an empowered D.C., it has national implications, in some ways even international implications. When I started, you know, working as an organizer locally over 20 years ago, that was a big part of my inspiration to really focus on the local level here, because I really do believe we are the air that they breathe, and we might need to choke them out with air, you know, whatever analogies we want to use. But the point is, and I like your talking point about non-cooperation as well, because I think that is one of the biggest challenges that we face in DC in part, is there is a bit of a you know, respectability politics, as some people call it, or just sort of a culture of, you know, not being too disruptive, and a lot of connections to power through employment and, you know, relationships. So these are some of the real, you know, barriers that we faced. And yeah, so I mean, that may be a bigger conversation about, you know, how do we as a movement overcome some of these things. But I think what you are proposing, the model that you're proposing, and the focus on culture and joy is a key part of that. So Akina, I'd love to hear a little bit more also about some of the other content that you presented on Saturday. I know you have, you know, really been looking at some of the Trump appointees, nominees, I guess we call them, and some of the other threats to democracy that Public Citizen is really calling attention to. I'd love to hear more.
Thank you so much. And before I do that, I just want to say it's Free DC Project. .org. Check it out. freedcproject.org. ORG. You miss the teach-in, but you want the joy, you want the community, you want the love, go there. Sign up now. freedcproject.org. This is beautiful energy, folks, and it's here in your community. So don't miss it. Be connected. So what did we talk about at the teach-in? So if you want to check out what the different topics were, we're kind of remaining open to what people want to do with this content, to do future teach-ins and trainings. So go to risefordemocracy.org and check it out. I'll talk about some of what we talked about now, but you can check it out there and see who the trainers were and find out what their organizations were and connect. If this sounds amazing to you, maybe you can host your own training or go to a future one. So one of the things that really stood out for me is just how panicked federal workers are right now, and other communities, especially our immigrant brothers and sisters. I'm not personally an immigrant, and siblings. And Trump is a bully. The MAGA team is a bunch of bullies, and we can stand up to them together. And people who are together are feeling stronger by the moment. And so we needed to talk about federal workers along with targeted communities that I think progressives have been talking about for a while, but need to talk about even more. So we had the president of the DC Labor Council, President Samuel Epps, speak. We also had the Northern Virginia Federal Labor Caucus president speak for AFL-CIO, and some members of the rank and file just facilitate a conversation about, you're hearing a lot of scary things. They are being challenged in court. Some of them are illegal. Don't just panic when scary things happen. And some people have lost their jobs already, right? So that is real. I'm not dismissing that at all. But also, some of the things that are happening are illegal, and we are challenging them. And Public Citizen was part of challenging the Trump administration in solidarity with AFGE on the very first day of the Trump administration. So we are part of this legal challenge. And we know, you know, our courts at the highest level are compromised by judges that don't seem to have a code of ethics and don't seem to want one. So understand that it is a complicated question, but right now, a lot of these illegal actions are being challenged that are attacks on federal workers. And federal workers, if they haven't gotten involved in their local union, if they have one, now is the time to do that. Some folks are finding a very invigorated union to be part of, and others are working to invigorate their locals. And others are saying, wow, I'm in management, or I'm not in a union, but they're reaching out to each other and building mutual aid networks, and they're finding ways to organize. And that is going to make everyone here who is a federal worker, married to a federal worker, gets federal grants that are now frozen. Like, it is a moment to reach out to people that maybe you didn't think you could organize before, if you're an organizer, or if you're not an activist or an organizer, maybe it's time to take action. And the sense of relief that you'll have from that connection or that action is so powerful. So hopefully folks listening do one of those two things, because I know many of your listeners are organizers like us and are tired. And the response we had to the Rise for Democracy teach-in was incredible. And people who haven't been active in 4 years showed up, and they will show up if you invite people consistently. This is the moment to bring thousands, like Kaya was talking about, thousands of people into action. So we did that work for federal workers of having people come together, and excited to maybe do that in the future in support of those folks. And then we had a targeted communities conversation. And there's no way that any panel that we organize or any training is gonna encompass every group of people that's being targeted by these bullies, by these MAGA bullies. But we did have folks speak to Muslim American communities who are being targeted, obviously immigrants who are being targeted, women, and workers and LGBTQ plus folks. And if I didn't just name your group, you're absolutely as important as everyone I just named. There's obviously a lot of fear, understandably, but I just wanted to share some top lines because we were really privileged to have this panel. We had Linda Sarsour from Empower Change, who is just such a courageous and gorgeous voice, and we were so privileged to have her join us. And she just said, you know, we all survived the first Trump administration. I'm still here. You're still here. Like, let's do this work together, and let's not just survive this year or 4 years. Like, let's make a plan to build the inclusive democracy and country that we all deserve, and let's make it long term. So I just wanted to, that's a very short summary of what she had to share. Hiram Cortez from Many Languages, One Voice, incredible local organization. Y'all should look it up if you haven't engaged MLOVE or Many Languages, One Voice, spoke specifically as a Latino immigrant about that particular subset of the immigrant community, and just said, be careful, folks who are progressive, to not assume that members of the Latino community are with you, even on the issue of immigration. That there's often this assumption by progressives that, you know, Latino, we support immigrants, so they're going to support all of this, including other immigrants. And that may not be the case. And so one piece of the work is just having the civics conversations within community. Is what he shared. And then, of course, everyone, both Linda Sarsour and Mr. Cortez, said, please be careful to not share disinformation that's scary for immigrants. Check your sources and make sure if you're sharing that you're seeing ICE around, make sure that it's really current and accurate and it comes from a vetted immigrants' rights organization. Otherwise, you may be actually making the problem worse. So I'll pause there because I've been talking for a long time.
I really appreciate that. And yeah, I saw that Linda Sarsour and others were on your agenda. And that's great that you were able to get those speakers there. I want to ask you, before we turn to Caden and hear a little bit more about the message to students in particular, I do understand that you have a call to action right now for a Trump nominee that's being considered this week. Could you share a bit about that?
Yeah, Do you want me to take that one, Kaden? I can. So we have the hearing for Kash Patel to head the Federal Bureau of Investigation is this Thursday. And this person is completely inept, but also a QAnon supporter and promoter who's vowed to make our federal law enforcement, instead of the agency that's supposed to be protecting you from scammers, from criminals, from multi-state traffickers of human beings and murderers, and he wants to make the FBI into the Department of Vengeance for Trump. It's not acceptable. He should not be confirmed. And if you have friends and family who are in Republican states with Republican senators, please ask them now to call their senators and say vote no. And if you'd like to be involved in local action around Kash Patel's hearing and confirmation process, please email democracyaction@citizen.org. democracyaction@citizen.org. Please do that today. We are 2 days away from this hearing. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And before we close the show today, please everybody repeat all of your websites and places that people can sign up to get updates. Kaden, I definitely want to hear more about what's happening at university level and what was your message to student organizers? What tools are available to student organizers right now?
Yeah, thank you so much. So again, as I mentioned earlier, this is a movement that has to include student energy and organizing passion. And again, it's one that's supported by the community, and community is a huge part of, but especially in campuses across DC. I know I come from American University. We're an incredibly politically engaged campus. And I know there are others in the DMV area that are too. And so what we have to do is not remain siloed in our own campuses. We have to reach and extend across the DMV. That's what Rise for Democracy was about, bringing campus organizations, students from across the DMV together. We had students from Howard, we had students from GW, from Georgetown, from George Mason, UMD, all come together. And our call to action is clear. We have to organize DMV students to stand up for our democracy, to defend DC autonomy and support Free DC, and to resist Project 2025. One of the leading voices that was organizing a couple of the workshops was Gen Vote, and they're incredible. And they have resources that they provide and onboarding calls for youth who are looking to get involved in their movement. So I would direct a lot of youth to genvote.org. That's GENVOTE.org. And so they have an amazing slate of resources for youth to get involved and for youth organizations to get involved in their Electoral Justice Alliance. And then here in DC, the Task Force for Democracy and is going to work a lot with campus partners to organize DMV students to support local actions. But what Gen Vote was honing in on at the workshops on Saturday was how we envision a democracy of tomorrow for our generation, right? What does that look like? What does corporate money out of politics mean for us? How will that play out long term? What do students, what do our generation want from the democracy of tomorrow? How does justice look? In order to achieve success, we have to envision our victories. We have to envision our successes. We have to have a vision for tomorrow if we need to unite this movement. And so we can't be purely reactionary. And I applaud them for holding a workshop that's very proactive in that sense. And the second workshop they have, and again, I'm not speaking necessarily for them, but just condoning the work that they did on that day, which was incredible, was a workshop on the student organizing, right? How we organize campuses in community, how we integrate students into coalition spaces, and how we bring them together in this movement. And so applying their experiences in student organizing and having students come together, strategize, and get involved in this movement. So that's what they were doing. And so again, I would direct students who are looking to get involved in GenVote to genvote.org, and then students who are looking to get involved in the DMV area in democracy organizing to the Task Force for Democracy. We'll be organizing campuses. So thank you.
That's wonderful. Kaden, go ahead and give the contact information for folks that want to contact you or Task Force for Democracy before we run out of
Yeah, of course. So you can email me at K-O-U-I-M-E-T, that's K-O-U-I-M for mother E-T, at taskforceusa.org. That's taskforceusa.org. So K-W-I-M-E at taskforceusa.org. Thank you.
Wonderful. And Kaya, I'd love for you to give, again, the information for FreeDC, but also I think you mentioned that there is an action that people can participate in today. So let's hear about that as well.
Yeah, you know, obviously we're all trying to be in solidarity with people directly affected. There's an action today at the White House from 5 to 6 p.m. that lots of big national organizations are asking people to come out for, just to oppose what's happening to federal workers and the federal funding freeze, which again is really going to affect people very in really dire ways. And as we organize in D.C., you'll hear about those kinds of things and many more things plugging into our word-based stuff at freedcproject.org. Thanks so much.
And Kaya, did I notice also that you're recruiting for, I think, an advisory board or some type of strategic board within the organization? Do you want to just pitch that real quick?
Yeah, we are. If you go onto the website, again, same place, freedcproject.org, we've got a little link where you can suggest to us who you think should be on our advisory board. We really launched on Saturday, so we're doing a little bit of building the train as it rolls. And we're really looking forward to getting folks input on that. Thanks for pointing that out, Parisa.
Yeah, I noticed it because I was like, oh, if I had time, I would totally.
We need you. We need you.
I'm involved, but you know how it is.
When yes, you're... I do. I do. Thank you for everything you do at Empower DC, really, truly.
No, thank you, Kaya. I'm excited to see all of this important work. And we do need to, Empower DC will find a way to connect more. Kane, please go ahead and remind us of some of the resources that you mentioned, websites to check out, and opportunities to join and support.
You bet. So if you want to get involved with Public Citizen, it's citizen.org. It's citizensingular.org. You can click on Taking on Trump and join the movement to get tied into everything we're working on here. It's citizen.org, and then click on Taking on Trump. And also, if you want to see more of the content that we talked about and the trainings that you could potentially host yourself, you can go to whatiftrumpwins.org. And for all of the amazing speakers and program details from the teach-in we just talked about, it's risefordemocracy.org, risefordemocracy.org. So you can follow up with any of us or anybody else who spoke that day so that we can continue all this beautiful work.
Well, I want to thank all three of my guests. You guys have reignited some fight in me. I was under the weather last week and coming under a pile of work and, you know, feeling overwhelmed until I spoke to you today. So thank you so much for that. We are in this together. This is long arc work, as I've been repeating again and again recently. We always knew that. And this is just another another leg of the journey. And as much as there is a crisis, there is also a lot of opportunity. So we'll continue to work together to build that world that we envision. Kaden, thanks for reminding us that we have to be able to picture and, you know, be clear, as clear as possible about what are we building. I want to thank you all for joining. Please see this as a platform, a resource for your work moving forward. Let us know when you want to come back and talk to our listeners again. And in the meantime, thank you to the listeners. I'm going to play another movement song in our last couple minutes as we go out today. But after that, please stay tuned for the next program that's coming up. Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, and of course a little bit of the news before that. So we're going to hear Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round. Again, thank you to my guests today.
Thank you all.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom. Ain't gonna let segregation, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let segregation, Lordy, turn me round. Keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse, Lordy, turn me round, turn me round. Turn me round. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse turn me round.
started talking, marching up to freedom, Lord.
Ain't gonna let no nervous Nelly, Lord.
Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let no nervous Nelly, Lord. Turn me round, keep on walking, yeah. Keep on talking, yeah. Marching up to freedom, Lord.
Ain't gonna let you fit the Lord.
Turn me round, turn me round. Turn me round, ain't gonna let you preach it, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, Lordy. Keep on a talking, Lordy. Marching up to freedom, Lordy.
Hang on a let me a kill it, Lordy.
Turn me round, turn me round. Turn me round, ain't gonna let me a kill it, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, Lordy. Keep on a talking, Lordy. Marching up to freedom, Lordy.
Uncle Tom, my Lord,
turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let no Uncle Tom, my Lord, turn me round. Keep on a walking, yeah. Keep on a talking, yeah. Marching up to freedom, yeah.
Ain't gonna let nobody, Lord,
turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody, Lord, turn me round. Keep on a talking, yeah, marching up to freedom, man.
Thanks again to our guests today. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in to Taking Action. Stay tuned for Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, but first the news.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Teresa Wersbianska. President Trump is boasting of the, quote, greatest opening week in presidential history. He spoke at a House Republican Issues Conference, a gathering of House Republicans that this year takes place at a Trump resort in Florida. Trump says he and his allies are replacing 100 years of domination by the Franklin Delano Roosevelt New Deal Coalition. Christopher Martinez reports.
House Republican leaders are holding their annual policy retreat, and this year it's taking the form of a pilgrimage to a posh Florida resort with four golf courses. To be precise, the Trump National Doral Miami. Florida Republican Mario Diaz-Balart is hosting the event.
First and foremost, I know you guys are really, really upset that we're here and not in D.C., right? This community, as you've heard, Doral is a very diverse community. It's a community that understands socialism, the evils of socialism.
Ballard and other Republicans spoke at a news conference before the GOP conference. Later, at the event itself, President Donald Trump took to the stage for a speech touting what he called the greatest opening week in presidential history.
Together, we're forging a new political majority that's shattering and replacing Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal coalition, which dominated American politics for over 100 years. That's what we're doing.
He boasted of actions like a federal hiring freeze, a freeze on foreign aid, moves to withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accords and the World Health Organization, and sending troops to the border. He says other countries will have to take back what he describes as their criminal migrants, or else face sanctions in the form of trade tariffs. He says tariff is the most beautiful word in the dictionary, pretty much.
It's God, love, it's all these other things, but I say number four, but God, love, religion, tariff, fourth.
Trump also had some thoughts about the future, in particular, his political future.
I've raised a lot of money for the next race that I assume I can't use for myself, but I'm not 100% sure because I don't know. I think I'm not allowed to run again. I'm not sure. Am I allowed to run again, Mike?
According to the Constitution, Trump is not allowed to run for a third term. But last Thursday, Republican Mike Ogles of Tennessee proposed a constitutional amendment to let a president serve three terms if their first two terms were not consecutive. That's not something that's likely to be enacted in the foreseeable future. As for the broader Republican legislative agenda, Republicans say they expect more specifics will be announced after their retreat. Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
A week into Donald Trump's second presidency, federal officers are operating with a new sense of mission. A dozen officers from Immigration and Customs Enforcement gathered before dawn Monday in a Maryland parking lot, then fanned out to the Washington suburbs to find their targets. Someone wanted in El Salvador for homicide, a person convicted of armed robbery in Maryland. All were in the country without documentation. The Associated Press accompanied the officers who offered a glimpse of how their work has changed. Ed Donahue reports.
Federal officers are operating with a new sense of mission since President Trump started his crackdown on immigration. The number of immigration-related arrests each day has more than doubled since President Trump took office. Matthew Elliston with Immigration and Customs Enforcement was involved in raids around Washington, D.C. He says the worst go first.
So far, we've apprehended the man wanted for homicide in El Salvador. We've apprehended the armed robber.
Elliston says nobody gets a free pass anymore.
We will constantly be out looking for them, especially these egregious public safety cases. The looking for these guys will never stop.
Arrested in a Chicago raid was Yanitza Marquina's father.
It's heartbreaking. They took a good man, a hardworking father.
Marquina says her father, a warehouse worker, was facing a battery charge and is not a criminal.
The past